definition of request. The act or an instance of asking for something. Join the club today and send your email requests and dedications to request@klbbradio.com. Club 1220 KLBB, where your music and memories live.
Well, Stan with you here, a really big treat for you right now. We are about to add yet another star to KLBB's All Request Programs Walk of Fame on the air. Yeah, some people walk on water. We walk on the air here. In recent times, we have chatted with Ronnie Spector, Neil Sedaka, Jack Jones, Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary, and Peter Asher of Peter and Gordon, and many, many other pop music headliners. And now we add Paul Peterson to the constellation. Many of you remember Paul as a standout member of the cast of The Donna Reed Show on network television back in the late 50s and early to mid-60s. And at that time, Paul had some top 40 hit record singles, too. Remember My Dad? We played that just a couple of days ago, and we'll be doing that again and again. Before that, Paul Peterson was a mouse. Yep, he was on the Mickey Mouse Club on TV. And since his Donna Reed days, Paul's been productive in many positive ways. He's been, among other things, helping those who need help in the show business arena, or those who were in it one time as child stars and who need a lift up now. And Paul's also a scholar, an author. He's with us live right now. Paul Peterson, hello, thank you, and welcome to Always Sunny and Always Dry Minnesota. Ha ha.
Stan, it's a pleasure to be with you. I'm out here at the fairgrounds doing the go away rain dance.
Thank you. And I hope it's working, Paul. You're in town. You must be a motorhead because you're out there at the fairgrounds where they're setting up for the 50s car show. Back to the 50s, huh?
That's exactly right. Well, I've told people this for years. With all the ups and downs in my life, my car buddies have always been my buddies. They always had my back. We share this love affair with cars, especially racing, and it's good to be around what I consider the right kind of folk.
That's nice to hear, Paul. Did you bring any of your Detroit metal, Detroit iron with you? Any of your
No. You know, interesting, you get a bit older, and you find other ways to spend money.
I never had that problem. All right. So you didn't drive a muscle car out for this show this time, huh?
No, how I wish. If I could have talked my brother-in-law out of his Challenger, I would have taken it across country.
Okay.
But my wife and I we made this our vacation, so we're taking a leisurely tour around the country.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, and I'm happy to tell you the weather forecast. The weather guessers around here say sunshine tomorrow, Paul, blue skies, nice temperatures, so things are going to look better and better. Your reputation.
Yeah. Good.
Isn't that great? Your reputation precedes you wherever you go, and it's a sterling, sterling reputation. You are so well thought of in all quarters, and I can tell folks before there was Sly and the Family Stone, there was Donna and the Family Stone, the Donna Reed Show. How about that?
Boy, that is true.
Oh,
but,
man.
But, you know, I try to explain to people, when you grow up in front of a country, as I did on the Donna Reed Show from age 12 to 20, and you come into people's living rooms every Thursday night. So, you know, Stan, that sticks forever.
It does.
People, even to this day, will walk up to me. Now, I'm 68 years old, and they'll look at me and say, did I go to high school with you? Or where do I know you from? And so I'm like, you know, yep. I was a visitor every Thursday night at your house.
You were, and a big and welcome visitor, too. Donna Reed, of course, and her Alex Stone, her husband, her TV husband. You played Jeff Stone, yep. Your sister Mary, and your real sister, Patty Peterson, eventually came on the show to play the role of what, Tricia?
Tricia, that's right. The last 3 years of the show, Patty came in. Of course, Shelley Fabre, who played Mary, was out there in the Hollywood world doing movies with Elvis Presley, and she's had a wonderful career. Gosh, Shelley's just done so well. And for those who know, she is now a 16-year survivor of a liver transplant.
Wow.
So we're real pleased that Shelley's with us.
That's wonderful news. And, of course, we can't talk about Shelley Fabre without saying Johnny Angel. That was her big hit, wasn't it, back then?
What a monster hit that was.
Well,
we were so lucky. You know, this was the days of Colpix Records. Donnie Kirshner was there, Lou Adler, and they put together a team to help us record, led by Stu Phillips, who was our A&R guy. Mm-hmm. And Stu, he was the go-to guy in that era. Mm-hmm. So we had the Marcells with Blue Moon and Jimmy Darin, Goodbye Cruel World, yeah. and Shelley with Johnny Angel. And of course, I put in my 2 cents worth with She Can't Find Her Keys and My Dad. But it was a remarkable time in my life and, frankly, in the life of our country.
It was. The time of the nuclear family, Paul, when, as portrayed on the Donna Reed Show, there really usually were a mom and dad and the kids at home then. They were a unified family, and something, sadly, we've lost in so many ways.
Well, you know, you take dads out of families and you take God out of your life. You get rid of good manners and good grooming, and you get just what you have here in 2014.
Mm-hmm. It's not always a pretty sight, is it? And it's difficult.
No, it's not. You know, people sometimes, either with a sense of melancholy, say, wish for the good old days, mm-hmm. or with a commitment, a renewed commitment, to live life that way. Look, the Donna Reed Show was not reality. Didn't even pretend to be. Mm-hmm. But what it did show people is that this is the way you might want to live. Mm-hmm. This is a little moral lesson every 22 and a half minutes in every show, because why not have a goal? Yeah. Why not live up to ideals? It's too easy to just give up and say, well, I'll just do what I want.
I think Ozzy and Harriet on television tried to do the very same thing with their program, too. It was
really good.
Well,
absolutely. And remember, Stan, our primary job was to sell product. Mm-hmm. In the Donna Reed Show, our sponsor was Campbell Soup. Mm-hmm. And you can't get any more traditional America than Campbell Soup.
It really
was soup and sandwich.
That's true. That's true. So true. And I don't know. People do long for what they call the good old days. I wouldn't mind living there once again sometimes, I'll tell you. Not bad. Not bad. Well, the Donna Reed Show, Paul, it almost became a victim of Uncle Milty. Milton Berle, I think you originally were put on the air on Wednesday nights on ABC, and Milty was opposite you. They almost canceled the show until they moved it to
10 o'clock.
Yeah. And they moved it to Thursday, and then you took off like a rocket, huh?
Well, that was thanks to the wife of the chairman of the board of Campbell Soup, because our debut ratings were miserable. Hmm. And she said to her husband, you didn't even give them a chance.
Yeah.
And when they moved this to Thursday nights at 8 o'clock, right after Ozzy and Harriet, well, you're right, the show took off. We were consistently, a top 10 show. In an era when there were only three offerings. You know, you had three networks, and that was it.
That was it. Boy, I remember those days. The show's producer, the Donna Reed producer, Tony Owen, I think his name was, he came to you one day and said, boy, you're going to start singing on this TV show. And you were pretty happy. You're going to be like Ricky Nelson. and Paul,
yes,
you...
Well, but, you know, who wouldn't want to be? Ricky was living a charmed life.
Yeah. Well, you're just as good-looking as he is, and you made it go. You made it happen. And I think your first big hit, your first big score as a top 40 was She Can't Find Her Keys. That was the one, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, it's kind of getting known for a novelty song, like Brian Hyland with Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini.
Right. I think you were a little concerned that there might be some confusion between those two songs, right?
Well, it has happened over the years.
Yeah,
you know, people kind of put novelty songs in a category. But I must tell you, as an adult man with relationships with plenty of women, among them my wife, this thing about women losing their keys is absolutely true.
It does happen. I've seen
it happen. Absolutely true.
And what those women, Paul, what those women pull out of their purses when they're looking for their keys. Ken, would you indulge us for a second? Could we play your song here for a minute?
Sure, let's do.
Let's do it. Here it is. She Can't Find Her Keys by Paul Peterson.
When I take my baby home at night, I can't wait to kiss and hold her tight. But right then, the time begins to drag when she starts searching through her bag.
She says, yes, the moment, please. I can't find my keys. Waiting for
a stage. She pulls out lipstick, powder, bubblegum, and bobby pins, but she can't find her keys. Curlers, tweezers, cold cream, candy bars, but she can't find her keys.
And Paul, I wish we could play it all the way through, but she keeps searching and she's pulling out monkey wrenches and tennis rackets and fire hydrants. It's crazy.
Absolutely.
And funny.
Autographs of Fabian.
Fabian,
oh,
too. Yeah.
It was the hardest song to sing, too.
I believe it.
Because I had to remember all those silly things.
Yeah, but you did beautifully with it, and the record buyers loved it. And your other big hit, of course, a song that you actually sang to your television dad, right?
Yes, my dad was by far and away my most successful record. And, you know, it stood the test of time. It has become a Father's Day classic. And, you know, with Father's Day, just a few days past, once again, I was reminded of how that song touched so many people's lives.
Yes, we had a ton of requests. We are a request show here on the run-up to Father's Day. Oh, so many requests. It was so gratifying to play this song.
He isn't much in the eyes of the world. He'll never make history. He isn't much in the eyes of the world, but he is the world to me. My dad.
Isn't that amazing? A young boy serenading his father to his face. I think it almost seems quaint these days, but it's so wonderful to hear that and know the story behind it. So nice, Paul. You were justly rewarded with a big hit on that one, too. Tell us, in the remaining seconds we have here, I know you've got to go, about your creation here, a nonprofit called A Minor Consideration.
Right. Well, Stan, I feel like I've had a charmed life. I've always kind of, despite my troubles, landed on my feet. But many of my brethren, my contemporaries, former kid stars, weren't so lucky. And 25 years ago, my wife and I started a foundation called A Minor Consideration to help those who have kind of stumbled during the transition. And we had no idea, Stan, believe me, we thought we'd be taking care of two or three people a year, maybe. And instead, we find ourselves taking or being concerned about the 30,000 professional kids. Wow. In show business. And those are the ones that are acting in plays and Broadway and movies and television shows. Mm-hmm. But it's grown because there's another 300,000 kids who one way or another are getting a check, mm-hmm. whether they're in agriculture or endorsing skateboards, somehow or another. These people are being robbed of their childhood.
Yes, yes.
And that has consequences later in life, and that's why we started A Minor Consideration.
I wish that had been around for Judy Garland and people like her.
Oh,
she
no
surely needed that. She was an abused child, stage parents pushing her out on stage. It hurt her for the rest of her life, Paul.
Of course it did. And it was like with Michael Jackson when he died. My essay on that subject was, what did you expect?
Yep.
Here you watch this young boy from the age of three, mm-hmm. become the economic engine of his family, working night after night after night after night. Mm-hmm. Of course he was odd.
Mm-hmm.
Of
yeah.
course he was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Rusty Hamer, you can have fatal results, too, for the pressure of Thomas show.
That's right. You know, he was on Danny Thomas for 12 years, one of the best actor comedians ever. And Rusty and I shared a love of cars. He had a Cobra also. And we were racing buddies and television buddies. And at age 42, he'd grown fat and bitter and took his own life, living in a trailer in DeRidder, Louisiana. And I must tell you, when he died, I realized that I could have showed up at his door. I should have showed up at his door. I was in New Orleans several times.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't have taken just, you know, a few hours to rent a car and go see him. Why didn't I do it?
Well, Paul, you can't.
So now, these days, I promise that when kids are in trouble, I show up.
Paul, you show up in the best places. You do such good work. We thank you so much. You are a man, a performer, a human being worthy of his reputation, and it's a very, very fine reputation. Thank you so much. Have a ball at the car show out there, Paul. A lot of us will get out there and try and find you, and you'll be around.
I hope they do. We're right on the corner of, what is it, Cooper and Randall.
Cooper and Randall. Okay. Paul, thanks for all the enjoyment you've given us over the years and the good things you continue to do for us. And thanks for carving out some time for us today, my friend. Thanks.
Thank you, Stan.
Our pleasure. Thank you. Paul Peterson, what a gentleman, huh? And an author, too. He's authored about a dozen novels. What a guy. We'll take a break here. We'll be back with your music right after this.